You know, the last few days have been frustrating for a lot of people. The roads have been such a mess, and so many things have been closed. And, you know, it just feels like, well, this hadn't hardly been able to do anything. But I couldn't help but think of what a great opportunity to do the most powerful thing that we ever do. Some of you know where I'm going, don't you? Pray. I mean, there's so much trouble and turmoil in our world right now, and nobody seems to have the answer. I'm going to tell you what the answer is. We need to keep praying. That's where the real answer is. People come up with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of things of man and the... I want to tell you what this world needs is they need the move of God. We need God's help. That's the only way. And there's only one way that we get God's help, and that's that we pray. Amen. And that's it. I know. Too simple, preacher. Oh, does it have to be complicated? Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy, does it? But there is an answer, and it's amazing how the enemy of our soul keeps us so often from doing the one thing that absolutely can change our lives, but also change this whole world. You know, part of the problem today is too much lazy, weak, wavering Christianity. I mean, the church in America as a whole is just plain too carnal. The church needs revival. And let me tell you why. Because of the lack of prayer. And let me tell you what the answer is. Prayer. That's the only thing that will change it. That's the only thing that will really bring revival. Revival always starts with prayer. Always. Now, you know, I just want to make this somewhat practical tonight. Why is there so much prayerlessness? There's really only two reasons that people don't pray. Either we don't care, or we don't believe that our prayers will make a difference. Because if we care about something, and we believe that our prayers will matter, that will make a difference, we will pray. So it's really one of the two. Either we don't care about a situation, or we care, but we just don't think it'll matter if I pray. I want to tell you, we need to be a praying people. And if we care about something and we believe, then we will pray. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And there's the key. You see, if we pray about it and we believe that we receive them, we will have them. Now, sometimes people, they pray, but then they quit praying. And there's two reasons that people quit praying. The first one is they quit praying because they no longer believe that it's making any difference. They prayed. But they don't believe that it matters anymore, and so they quit. The other reason is actually a good thing. They pray, and they get to the place where they actually believe they receive. And so they quit praying and start praising. They're just praising God for it because they believe that they receive. And I'm not talking about, you know, that you prayed about something for a minute, and you're hoping that it's going to happen. No, I'm talking about the kind of faith you believe you receive so much so that you start acting like it's done. And you know, when you quit praying because you actually believe it's done, well, that's a good thing. But we just need to realize that other than that, we don't need to ever quit praying. Now, I want you to know there are times when we pray about something one time and we know it's done. That happens. But there are also times, there are many times, that we have to keep praying. Keep praying and keep praying. I think it's important that we understand that there are a lot of battles that are not won by a quick prayer. You see, when we're dealing with human wills and devils, a lot of the time, it's not going to be some little short, quick prayer that gets it done. I'm going to say that again because some of you need to hear it. When you're dealing with human wills and devils, most of our prayers, if they matter at all, it's dealing with human wills and devils, believe me. And if we're dealing with those kinds of things, a lot of time it's not just going to be a little quick prayer that we threw up one day, but we're going to have to keep praying as though we were in a battle because, well, we are. And that's why the scripture says things like this to us, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In the NIV it says, pray continually. Romans 12, it tells us continuing steadfastly in prayer. In Ephesians 6:18, it says praying always. In Colossians 4:2, it says continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Is there anything troubling you, anything making you anxious? Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you present your request to God. I'm just telling you, we're supposed to do this all the time. All the time. And who's our example? Jesus. Jesus. He's our example in persistent prayer. What's he doing right now? I know. We're worshiping him, the Lamb seated on the throne. And I know, but I want you to understand something. Right now, Jesus, our high priest, Hebrews 7:25, he always lives to make intercession for them. Right now, even right now, Romans 8:34, Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Why is Jesus interceding? Because prayer works. Prayer matters. Something happens when we pray that doesn't happen if we don't pray. And so Jesus, he's ever interceding for his people. What if he prayed like the way most believers in America pray today? He would just say one time, Father, save everybody, heal everybody, bless everybody, help everybody in my name, amen. And then he would go put his feet up in a recliner and watch some TV or surf the internet. Oh my. This is fun, isn't it? What a fun message. I want to tell you what is fun. Fun is when the victory comes. Fun is when that breakthrough finally happens, when that heart is changed, when that person finally gets healed, when somebody gets set free, when you see the relationship restored. That's fun. And that happens because somebody kept praying. How do we miss this? How is the enemy of our soul so deceived? Christians in America, like a little dab of prayer will do it. No, we need to be a praying people. And I'm going to say this really straight. It's the truth. If we're not a praying people, we're not a spiritual people. If we're not a praying person, we're not a spiritual person. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, that he doesn't care about us, or that we're just sorry people. But I'm just telling you, if we're not praying people, we shouldn't deceive ourselves and think that we're spiritual people. The essence of our relationship with God has everything to do with our prayer life. That's all right, y'all. It's going to get worse. We think we're so busy. We're overwhelmed with our schedule. overwhelmed with our self-importance. We think too much of ourselves and too little of God. If we understood how awesome, how wonderful He is, how powerful, we would never miss an opportunity to pray and ask for His help. See, if you think that you have too much to do, I'll tell you what you need. You see, you got too much to do. You need God's help. And how you get that? You have to ask. He says you have not because you ask not. You got to ask. We have to spend time in prayer. Prayer brings us to a place where we are humble enough to truly rely upon God instead of ourselves. But as long as we continue to rely on ourselves, we won't make time to pray. But persistence in prayer, you see, it brings us to that place where we're continually relying on God. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 10, Jesus tells a parable. He says, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, I just want to stop right here for a second. And some people try to spiritualize every phrase of a parable, and they get into all kinds of error. I want you to understand that in no way is God telling us that it is, he doesn't want to help us, but if we'll persist, he'll finally give in and do it. That is not the teaching of this principle. In fact, Jesus tells us what the point of the passage is in the next 2 verses. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, our English language, there are verb forms here that we don't really have a single English verb form like this. So Woost Expanded Translation translates it this way, just to give the full meaning of those verbs. It says, I'm saying to you, keep on asking for something to be given, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on reverently knocking, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking for something to be given keeps on receiving. And he who keeps on seeking keeps on finding. And the one who keeps on reverently knocking, it shall be opened. You see, it's not just, I asked. Jesus was saying, ask. You keep asking. And everybody that keeps asking is going to keep receiving. You see, we got to keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. We don't have to wear God down. But I want you to understand that when we pray and we keep praying, we wear the devil down. Persistence will defeat resistance. Just got to keep praying. Luke 18 and 1, another parable about prayer. Jesus says, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Here's the principle of the parable. It tells us very clearly why Jesus tells the parable. So that we would always pray, keep praying, and never give up. Keep praying and never give up. That is the point of the parable. Now here's the way it goes. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man, nor Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus tells us that this parable is so that we will always pray and never give up. Now, he tells this story about an unjust judge that didn't care about, he didn't fear God or man. But he says, how much more will our Heavenly Father answer, avenge us speedily? And then he asked this rhetorical question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We want to be those people, amen, that pray because we believe, amen. Now, you know, when there's a spiritual battle that's taking place, this is the most important thing. Keep praying. That's the most important thing. Keep praying. Daniel fasted and prayed for 3 weeks for an answer. And then when God's messenger finally got there, he told Daniel why it took 3 weeks. It's Daniel 10, 12 through 14. He said, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. This messenger from God was hindered. But then Michael, another angel, showed up and helped him. It took 21 days. He said, your words were heard that first day. But it took 21 days before that answer finally got to him. You know why we don't hear our answer sometimes? Because we give up too soon. When we're in a battle, we just have to keep praying. You know, I don't understand all of these things, but I do understand this, that we're supposed to keep praying and never give up. That's what our Savior taught us. And so we should always be praying and never waver in our faith. Never give up. See, what happens when we waver and we give up? Well, James tells us in chapter 1, verse 7, let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. We can't give up. We have to keep praying. You know, how quick a prayer is going to be answered is really subjective. Some prayers are answered immediately. I love that. That's fun. Some answers, well, they take 2 or 3 years. Some answers take 20 or 25 years. Well, some even longer. But Abraham told the Lord he didn't have an heir. It was 25 years later before God gave him that promised son. Now, he gave him the answer a long time before that. He told him that his descendants would be like the stars in the sky. But it was 25 years later, when Abraham was 100 years old, that he finally got to see the manifestation, the fulfillment of the answer to his prayer. I'm just telling you, you got to keep praying and don't give up. You just keep praying. I'm not telling you it's going to be 25 years. I'm telling you, if it is 25 years, you don't give up. You keep praying. But what a fantastic miracle it was, what God did in Abraham's life. What a great victory. It was amazing. I mean, we still talk about it today. That's how amazing it was. Sometimes it is those prayers that you keep praying day after day and year after year. I want to encourage you tonight, you see. You keep praying year after year. That's going to bring the greatest blessings, the greatest victories. See, the greatest victories come from the greatest battles. And when you've prayed and you prayed and you prayed year after year, I want to tell you that not only do the greatest blessings come, but you get a closeness with Him that people that haven't walked that don't know. Abraham knew Him in a way that few ever do. God called him his friend. A lot of people that call God their friend, but you'll find few in the scripture that God calls his friend. Abraham was one of those. And you see, when you have walked that walk where you pray and you pray and you pray and you believe and you believe and you believe, even though you haven't seen the change, the victory come yet, let me tell you, you get to a place that a lot of people never get to. Pray. Keep praying. Keep praying. Jesus, He's always praying. He's always our example. But we need to know God's time frame is not always the same as ours. So we just keep praying and believing. That's where the battle is going to be won. It's a really interesting story in Exodus chapter 17 where Amalek came and fought against Israel. And Moses tells Joshua, he says, you choose out some men and y'all go out and fight. And I'm going to go up on the mountain with the rod of God and I'm going to pray. But Moses is up on the mountain and he's lifting his hands in prayer, but he gets weary. And when his hands would go down, they would start to lose the battle. When he lifted his hands, they would win the battle. And so finally, he sat down on a rock and a couple of men helped him and held his hands up so he could pray with lifted hands and they won the victory. Listen, same men out on the battlefield, Joshua and the chosen men, it's the same men. What made the difference? The prayer. It had to happen. That's what makes the difference in the battle. It's the prayer. It's not the strength of man. It's not the smarts of man. It's not the money of man. It's not the talent of man. It's the prayer that makes the real difference. That's what truly changes things. Because God is glorified instead of man being glorified. It's uplifted hands thing. What's the deal with that? 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, I don't understand all that, but I know this. I know this, that when I reach my hands out to the Lord, I just feel closer to Him. I'm reaching out to Him. That sometimes when I'm praying, I'm lifting my prayer request to Him. I'm offering it up to Him. And I'll just tell you this, I don't even understand this, but when I was a teenage boy, I laid in my bed one night and I never even heard or seen anybody lift their hands, and I don't know why, but I was laying in my bed and I put my hand just trying to reach out to him as I prayed. I didn't even really know the Lord in a personal way, but I was reaching out. I'm just telling you that sometimes, you see, some of us, we're just in a rut in our prayer life. Maybe you need to lift your hands. Maybe you need to get on your knees before the Lord. You know, people nowadays, they act like, oh no, we don't need to do. All I know is, as I see in the scripture where the Apostle Paul says, I bow my knees. And sometimes you need to bow your knees before the Lord. But whatever it takes for us to be consistent and persistent in prayer, we just gotta keep praying. See, the same preacher preaching the same message. What makes the difference? Prayer. Someone praying. That's what gets through to the hard heart. That's what brings much fruit. Prayer. Technology and cool stuff. It's nice to have cool stuff. That screen. I'm not even going to tell you what that costs. Somebody will get upset about it. I think it's crazy. Here's what I know. The sad thing is that for too much of the church today, it's become a substitute. We'd rather have the hype than the power, life-changing power. And at best, it's become a distraction. Now, I'm not against screens and technology. I thank God that we're able to live stream. I think it's a blessing from the Lord. I just think that we can't allow ourselves to think that these things in any way can take the place of prayer. And I think that a lot of the time, just the distraction of it, it all has so much to do with the fact that we aren't staying in prayer more. And we entertain ourselves instead of praying. Ephesians 6:18 and 19, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Oh, if Apostle Paul needed prayer so he could preach, how much more do I need somebody praying for me so I can preach in such a way that lives would be changed? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Charles Spurgeon, one of the most famous, most popular, successful preachers in Victorian England. People would come by the thousands, and they would even stand outside when they couldn't get in, just hoping to hear him preach a little bit. It was so powerful and so awesome. But one day, a group of young seminary students came to visit the church. They'd heard so much about it. And when they came into this huge building, there was a gray-haired man there just dressed in normal clothes. And they kind of assumed that he must be the janitor. And he showed them around the church and took them to all the different rooms of the church. And then He finally says to him, he says, y'all want to see where the fire comes from? And they thought he was talking about the heater or something, you know. And he takes them down to this room, and he opens the door, and there's a couple of dozen people in there praying. And he said, this is where the fire in the pulpit comes from. It was Charles Spurgeon that gave him the tour that day. And I just want you to understand that that really is where the power comes from. It's from prayer. It has to be from God. And we can't just take it for granted. We won't acknowledge. And we won't give God the glory. We have to pray. and believe. And then we know that it was God. You have the same worship team singing the same songs, but what makes the difference? People praying. What makes our witness effective? Praying. What makes the difference in somebody being set free? Praying. The battle is won in prayer. Family member gets a bad report from the doctor, and we pray about it for 5 minutes, and then we'll spend hours driving to the doctor's office, sitting in the waiting room, hoping to talk to a doctor for 5 minutes. I'm not knocking going to the doctor. I'm knocking that we have such a hard time with spending more than 5 minutes in prayer. Here's one I know about personally. I know y'all have never done this, but my loved one is dealing with cancer. To spend 5 minutes in prayer and then 3 hours on the internet looking for answers. What are we doing? We know where the answer is. Why do we waste time with fruitless things when an almighty God is always our answer? And even if it, you know, we're supposed to go to this doctor or use this medicine or whatever it might be. Do you think the Lord doesn't know what we need? He can tell us exactly. He can show us. He can set things in motion. But so often we just do so little of the praying part. We should never stop praying. That's where the battle is won. I think we ought to keep regular prayer times like Daniel did. He prayed 3 times a day, and they made a law against it, so he got thrown in the lion's den, and God delivered him. Most Christians today, if they made such a law, they wouldn't have anything to worry about. I kind of wonder, though, sometimes if they made a law against it, if more people would start praying. That's just weird. But true, what a privilege and the freedom we have to approach the throne of grace anytime we want. And I think we ought to make it a pattern and a lifestyle. You know, we're so anti-religion that we don't want, you know, we don't want anything like that. Well, I got to do this. How about we just want every opportunity that we can get to go to God in prayer, because that's what really matters. You know, not just praying once in a while, but praying all the time. Every situation, everywhere we go, driving the car, conducting business, talking to someone, we can pray while we're talking to somebody. And we ought to be talking to the Lord all the time. You know, I was thinking about how that I got in my car and there's icy roads and stuff, and I'm 66 years old. I started driving when I was 15. I can't tell you how many times, even though I live in Texas, I've driven on icy and snow and whatever else kind of roads. And I get in my car and I think, I got this. Something was there. And I said, no. I said, Lord, I need your help. Keep me safe. Help me, Lord, to get where I need to go. See how pride says you don't need to pray? When you're not praying, you need to check yourself. Because if you're truly humble before God, you know you need Him every day, every minute of every hour. No matter how much you think you got this, you better ask for His help. How we need His help in all that we do. You know, people say, oh, now, Pastor, you're just making this. You're setting the bar too high. You know, it's amazing to me how that people have a cell phone and they text on it all the time. And a lot of people send 200-300 texts in a day. They're texting. I want to tell you something. You can talk to God in the same way, and you don't need a stupid phone to talk to him. You can talk to him 200-300 times a day. That's praying without ceasing, just talking to the Lord all the time. You can be driving down the road, whatever you're doing, you know, even if you have to do it silently, you can be praying and talking to the Lord. Pray without ceasing. I think I read that in the Bible. Didn't we read that tonight? Pray without ceasing. See, we just need to make it a lifestyle that we pray all the time. And when we do that, I want to tell you, he is a sovereign God, and he's chosen to move when we pray. So we pray all the time, even in the mundane day-to-day, there's always opportunities to pray. Every problem is an opportunity to pray and to see God's power at work in your life. There's always problems. See them as an opportunity to pray and believe God and trust him. We need to look for those opportunities, not run from them. Look for opportunities to pray. I think if we prayed as much as we complain, oh, we would see a big change. We can complain about Hollywood and complain about the immorality in our country and all the things that are going on, all the injustice and the violence, but I want to tell you, it doesn't do any good. Prayer's what works. We just got to keep praying. The church is the most powerful force in the earth because it's Jesus' church, and not even the gates of hell can stop it. But you see, the power comes as we pray. And when we're praying, there's no limit to his power. Amen. See, us and God make a majority. With God, all things are possible. We just got to pray more. That's all there is to it. I want to close with this story from Acts chapter 12. It tells a tragic story. And then it also tells a story of great triumph. James, you know, there was Peter, James, and John. Those three were the closest to the Lord Jesus. They were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration and so many other places. James, the brother of John. Herod had him seized. And it happened so quickly, I think the church was really caught off guard, but James was put to death. And then when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he had Peter seized. But he wanted to wait until after the Passover to have him put to death. And so the church was praying and praying and praying, having one of those all-night kind of prayer meetings that what happened to those? And an angel showed up in the jail cell where Peter was chained to two soldiers. All in total, they had 16 soldiers keeping him. But this angel hits him and wakes him up. The chains fall off. The angel leads him out. Peter goes to the house where they're praying, knocks on the door. It's Peter. The girl that hears him, she's so excited, she goes and tells everybody, and they didn't even believe her. They said, "You're crazy. You're beside yourself." And then finally, they open the door, and it's Peter. How'd this happen? They were praying. Praying and praying. I don't know how great their faith was, because they didn't even believe it was really Peter. But God did a great miracle because people were praying. It makes a difference if we pray. Don't ever let the devil tell you it doesn't matter. It makes a difference if we pray. We got to be that praying people. tonight, the important thing is what you take home and what you do with such a message. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you that wherever you are in your walk with the Lord and in your prayer life, I encourage you to just take another step further. See, I know that maybe I've put the bar way up here for some of you tonight. Just take another step and another step and another step. Don't allow the enemy to talk you out of a real prayer life. No matter what, that you're going to be a praying person. You're going to keep praying and you're going to see miracles and victories and God being glorified in and through your life. Amen. Amen. Stand with me.